Good evening and welcome to Agar Meditation. And today we have another aspect of meditation today, and this is living through adversity. Each one of us knows that we don't need this aspect of this life, but we all are going through it. Whether you are in the city, village, whether you're rich, poor, whether you're father, son, whoever it is, mother, daughter, every one of us are going through adversity in our own way. For each one of us, this is one thing that is very common. All of us want to get this out of our lives, but the more we want to get out of it, the more adversity we find ourselves enveloped in. And that is why this is something that I wanted to bring to you on how to live through adversity. What can we do? And that was the question that was asked earlier yesterday on what can get us to live through adversity. And this morning I answered to you that the message was either you have to face it, fight it, or rise above adversity. So depending on the situation, we have to either face it, fight it, or rise above it. Now, how do we do this? That's what we are going to learn today. So the more important aspect is, after learning, one needs to apply it. So when I was learning meditations years ago, I went to my mentor every Friday for 12 years, and he used to teach me all these meditations and actually put me through a homework. And when I got into this homework for the 1 week, the homework was intense, and he would follow through each week after week after week to see how I was progressing, or was I progressing. And with each one of these practices, he would look back into me and look at what is it that I had done. And he would be there at every moment, either to correct me or to appreciate me, compliment me for the practices and the revelations. So when we actually practice the tools that I'm sharing here, when you practice through the week, it actually gets you to a point of awakening where you receive the message which you need to practice. And that's what happened to me consistently, week after week, for 12 years. And that's what I'm bringing to you today. What I'm bringing to you is all the awakening that I have received through all these meditations, through my mentor, is what I'm bringing to you. So the easiest thing that you can do is to practice, and with the practice, be awakened yourself. And that's the best gift you can give to yourself. So welcome once again to Agar Meditation. Now let us start now with the grounding practice of the Maypole meditation. Let us start this. Now I'm going to take you through this practice and also put you through a small audio that's going to help you soothe your senses and get into this meditation. For those who are new to the practice, make sure that if you're sitting on a chair, move to the edge of the chair so your back is straight. Do not use the backrest. And those of you who are sitting on the ground, cross-legged, perfectly fine. But again, do not use your wall as a back support, or do not use any kind of back support. You can have a cushion or a blanket or a pillow, stack of pillows, and sit on them so that your back automatically straightens up. Think, imagine, visualize, or feel that you are sitting in the center of a golden circle of light. The size of this circle is as wide as your outstretched arms, with fingers extended. If you were to stretch your arms on the sides as a T and stretch your fingers, open your fingers out to that diameter, imagine there's a circle on the ground. This circle is your inner circle of protection. In front of you, think, imagine, visualize, or feel a tall pole with many different colored ribbons hanging from a sphere at the top, which represents your higher consciousness. In your inner scene, see yourself walking up to this pole. And choose a ribbon of whatever color that appeals to you. And now, holding on to this ribbon, walk back to your seat, connected by the ribbon as if it were a telephone connection between you and your higher consciousness. Now, ask your higher consciousness to send to you through the ribbon its relaxing energies. Breathe it in. As you breathe out, let go of any anxiety, any restlessness, any clutter, any confusion, anything that you may be carrying which is preventing you from calming yourself down for a few breaths. Now, ask your higher consciousness to send to you through the ribbon its healing energies. We all need healing, whether it is physical, mental, emotional, or any other. Breathe in this healing energy. As you breathe out, let go of any pain and distress or anxiety or sorrow or guilt. Any anger, resentment, jealousy, envy that you may be carrying in any part of you, whether it is physical, mental, emotional, or any other, for a few breaths. Now, ask your higher consciousness to send to you through the ribbon its cleansing and purifying energies. Breathe it in. As you breathe out, let go of all negative thoughts, negative impressions, negative judgments, negative experiences, negative memories that you may be carrying in any part of you, whether physical, mental, emotional, or any other. For a few breaths. Now, ask your higher consciousness to send to you through the ribbon its strengthening energy. Breathe it in. As you breathe out, let go of any tiredness, any fatigue or even a sense of weakness that you may be carrying in any part of you for a few breaths. Now ask your higher consciousness to send to you through the ribbon its unconditional love, which is completely accepting and non-judgmental. Breathe in this love deeply. As you breathe out, let go of everything that prevents you from receiving this precious gift. Let go of any guilt, a sense of low self-worth, low self-esteem. If anything tells you that you don't deserve this love, don't believe it. Each one offers, no matter where we are, no matter how we are, the divine accepts us just as we are, with no conditions. It does not judge us. It does not punish us. The divine is all loving, all powerful, all knowing, all compassionate. Breathe in this divine love. As you breathe out, let go of everything that you believe is making you not deserving enough of this love. To make this practice more powerful, imagine a flower in the center of your chest. Observe whether this flower has blossomed, is a bud, or whether it has wilted. Either ways, order this flower to come into full bloom. Ask your higher consciousness to send its divine love through the ribbon. Breathe in this love, let the flower fill itself with this love, and let your heart just absorb this love, let your entire being be soaked in this love. As you breathe out, share this love with all of creation. We just have to say it, have to mean it, have to be it. I breathe in this divine love. I share this love with all of creation. I breathe in this divine love. I share it with all of creation. I breathe in this divine love. I share this love with all of creation. Continue to breathe this way for a few more breaths. Come back to conscious awareness. Relax yourself for a few breaths. Take a few deep breaths. Bring yourself back to this plane of awareness where we are today. Open your eyes when you're ready. facing adversity with awareness. That's the topic of the day. Adversity means something opposite of what we want. Something that is opposite and uncomfortable to what we want. All our lives, we want to be happy, we want to be joyful, we want to be playful, and we want to just have everything that we believe must exist with us. But the more we want, the more we feel deprived. That is adversity. Adversity to us simply means the way we believe is that something that is denied to us. This is not true. When you learn to be in your awareness, you also learn to read the signs that are shown to us. Adversity is a teacher which comes to show us to rise above it so that you can observe it, you can watch it. It is something that has come to us to test us. It has come to us to watch over us. Somewhere we are forgetting our own selves, forgetting our awareness, our beingness, and we are getting into the mundane life's challenges, getting into the slush, dirtying our shoes, our clothes, so much so that we forget where we are. Without adversity, we would be absolutely careless, irresponsible. Without adversity, we would have no compassion. We would not know what pain is. We would not know how we can be there for others when they are facing life's challenges. Adversity is not all bad. It is just one of the ways life expresses itself, just like love expresses itself. It is something that we have to embrace so we know exactly how to work with it. As I mentioned in today's morning message, there are three ways to address adversity. Face it. Fight it. Someone said, I know this. But what you might not know is that when you fight, it should not come from your anger. It should not come from your displeasure, from your dissent, from your discontentment. When you fight it, it must come from the principle of upholding righteousness, dharma. That is what fighting adversity means. And we have rising above adversity. There are times when challenges come to us and we know that we do not belong here. That this is something that anyhow would exist in that particular plane of awareness. So I found myself in this plane of adversity because I chose to be a little careless about my awareness. And so I exist here. Let me quickly lift myself up and I just shift my plane of awareness with just a breath. And I realized that I don't need to participate. When you face adversity, you need to always face it. You cannot run away from it. It is just like your shadow. It is just like a situation. When a situation arrives, if you choose to sleep it away, remember that it's waiting like a sentry, like a guard, right beside you until you wake up. The moment you wake up, the situation is right there in front of you as it was when you went to sleep. So it's important for you to understand that when you have to face the adversity, you have to just watch it without any judgment, without any fear. Now, why is it necessary for us to watch it without judgment and fear? when we get prejudiced by any adversity, then we are compelled to react to that situation. And when we react to any situation out of anger or fear, that's when we commit mistakes. And that's when we close the window of our awareness. Whatever we decide will be based on a reaction that we feel in our mind and in our senses. When we are in our awareness, there are so many possibilities. There's so many ways things can manifest. Sometimes the unimaginable can manifest. The unthinkable can manifest. I remember when someone was inviting me to the United States for about 10 years. And finally I said, okay, let me give it a try. That was the year when Chennai had floods. So I went to the US consulate in Hyderabad. And I was waiting for my turn for the interview with the passport and other details with me. And then just I was waiting in the queue, the divine just descended in front of me with a bang. And I was so overjoyed looking at divinity. And it told me, no matter what the outcome is, just be equanimous. So here I was so happy, overjoyed looking at divinity. And when my turn came to the counter to get the visa, he asked me a few questions and he said that rejected. And he gave me the passport. And I had the same happiness that I went to the interview. I came out with the same amount of happiness. When I came out of the consulate, my friend was waiting in the car. He looked at my face and he thought I had got the US visa. And he asked, you got the stamp? I said, yes, but rejected. And he was so distraught. He was broken. But I was unmoved. I was so joyous. That's what adversity with awareness does to you. When you face that adversity with awareness, it just lifts you up so that the adversity doesn't even touch you. It occurs, but it doesn't touch you. You are unmoved by its presence. You are unmoved by the intensity. Every day, when you meditate, you will see that adversity will occur every day, whether you are in your home, whether in your office, whether you're traveling. Some people have nightmares in their sleep. No matter where this adversity occurs, when you are in your awareness, you'll always be just watching it. I remember there was this person who was practicing rising above adversity many years ago. And his mother came to him and she started bad-mouthing his wife. And she gave such a mouthful of harsh words to him about his wife. And this man was practicing sending unconditional love to his mother. He was like one exhaust fan, like a power fan, which was blasting unconditional love at his mother. And he was untouched by everything that she did. And it was a good 10 minutes of barrage that she had on him. And it was a good 10 minutes of unconditional love that he poured over her. After 10 minutes, she emptied herself and she went. And he was still unmoved with a smile on his face, with his heart filled with love. After a few minutes, she came up again to him and she told him, I gave you such a bad mouthful of bad words and all the kind of bashing that I could give to your wife. I gave it to you. You must be really hurt. I'm so sorry. But to this man, nothing moved inside him. He had the same amount of love that he had. And he saw his mother with the same amount of love. So when someone comes to you with such harsh mentality, harsh emotions, harsh words, when they choose to behave harshly with you, the one choice that you have is to rise above this adversity. When you rise above the adversity, you are able to face it. You're able to stand in front of this person, and you know that no harm can come to you, because now you have enveloped yourself with the divine. I remember many years ago, one day my brother, he called me and he said, my mobile has fallen off my pocket. And I reached home and realized I didn't have my mobile. So I called my number and there was this guy who picked up and he told me, if you can give me 1500 rupees, I will hand over your mobile to you. My brother called me and he asked me where I was. I was traveling the same direction where his mobile fell off, and he said, would it be possible for you to pick it up? Said okay. And no sooner I had said that, the next thing I did was connect to the divine and ask, please guide me. And my divine asked me to contact this person. I contact my brother's phone, and again this person picked up the phone. It said, if you can give me 1500 rupees, I can give you the mobile phone. I said okay. And as I was reaching the place, the divine guided again said, ask him, you want to sell me my mobile phone, is this okay? And so I went to him. I saw this man sitting in a welding shop, and there was some welding happening out there. And then I went to him and I saw him. I could recognize my brother's phone in his hand. He asked me, have you brought the money? And I asked him, you want to sell my phone to me, is this okay? He just handed over the phone to me. I took that phone. No sooner had I taken the phone, the divine said, now you reward him 500 for being honest. So I gave him 500. He was happy. And then I came back. While I was driving, the divine again spoke and said, don't tell your brother how much you paid until he asks. This is a game the divine plays all the time with us. But when you don't connect your awareness, you are fretting, fuming, angry, calling it injustice, my share, I deserve, I do not deserve. We are always fighting from our egocentric selves. Every day, at every place, the divine is present, no matter where. And at every moment, if you can only connect for a fleeting moment, the divine is ever ready, ever ready, ever present to help you, to lift you from your situation and to take you to a better space. I remember my mentor, I'll tell you, most of you will think about your home experience, about how your mother, your brother, your mother-in-law, your father-in-law, you're thinking about your home atmosphere. Let me narrate to you about the experience that my mentor had. She was connecting to the divine for some 40 years. She was in a flight, and the flight got hijacked. And there were these hijackers in the flight, and she quickly connects to the divine, and she asks the divine, show me the way. And the divine says, send them your love. And she says, I can't. So she's confronting now with the divine, I can't send them my love. They are terrorists. They are bad people. They have guns. They have grenades. And the divine says, not your love. Send them my love. Now she says, how do I do that? The divine says, all you have to do is to breathe in my love and direct it to them. Imagine, there are terrorists. These are people who are there to extinguish your life, your breath. And she starts sending the divine's love, the holding Namaskara Mudra. She just breathes in God's love and sends it to these terrorists. And no sooner she starts sending, the terrorists for some reason start sweating. One guy's cigarette burnt his lip. he lost his awareness, and another guy, his gun is slipping out of his hands, his fingers, because he's sweating, and quickly they were overpowered. This is how the divine always chooses to help. It is our notion that what if the divine is not here? What if the divine does not respond? What if adversity takes over? What if I end up suffering? Many a times we believe in that impossibility. We believe in failure. We believe in fear. We believe in adversity more than we believe in the divine. When you believe in anything, it encapsulates you. Be it fear, be it anger, be it judgment, no matter what you believe in, it encapsulates you. When it encapsulates you, then you belong to it. You are no longer free. But when the divine encapsulates you, then it protects you. The divine alone protects you. Nothing else comes to your protection. So practicing awareness must be the constant and continuous practice. That should be something that you have to do every single day, whenever you have even a moment's time at hand where you're free. Instead of reaching out to your mobile phone, instead of checking on your social media, if you can just practice sitting in awareness. But why must we do it this way? Adversity is prarabdha, which means it is a consequence which has come again, is revisiting us, but only this time that we are on the receiving end. That means previously we were at the giving end. We were the adversary and someone was being victimized. Now we are at the receiving end to understand how it exactly feels when someone, an adversary, attacks you. And when that happens, all you have to remind yourself that this is karma revisiting. All I have to do is to be aware, is to watch it, and is to rise above it. If I must fight it, let me do it, but without any anger, without fear, without any judgment. When you face such adversity without any anger, judgment, or fear, then you are doing justice. You're not reacting. You're just protecting yourself. At that time, the divine stands behind you, or sometimes even in front of you, preventing you from getting in the harm's way. Are there any questions? Yes, Rashi, please unmute.
Sir, when you said, ask the divine, how do we recognize if, we are getting responses from the divine or is it from the mind?
When you get responses from the divine, what the divine says does not change. The instructions does not change. And secondly, you can ask, where is it coming from? Show me yourself. Who is it? Who is giving me this instruction? If you get these words, I am Ramakrishna Paramahamsa speaking, I am Shirdi Sai Baba speaking, I am Ramana Maharshi speaking, that's the mind. Because the divine does not identify itself with ego. It does not identify itself with name and form. But when it is really the divine, you feel a flush of energy. you get goose pimples, you have tingling sensation, you have a flush of joy inside you, something that just overtakes you when it is really from the divine. You feel beautiful. Sometimes you just go numb, rising above all sensory feelings. That's the divine.
Yes, sir.
But then we always have this habit of doubting the divine. We do not doubt the mind's voice, but we doubt the divine. This is our habit. Yes, Vijayashree.
Prarabdha karma, explain Madhakagata, because what I have learned is like you're born with some set of karmas from your previous life, and then no matter what you do, you know, a karma yen madidru kelon sati express aage agutte.
See, I think it should not be taken as a doom.
Oh.
You are destined to doom. Don't think like that. Karma is the best teacher. It teaches us how to live. If I have, let me give an example. I will explain to you a karmic journey that I had. Many years ago, I was in a research institute and I was teaching yoga to a group of visitors from Brazil. And at one such point in the morning, I found a cobra. I love catching snakes. So I found this cobra and I held on to it, and the next thing that I wanted to do, my ego got the better of me. So when the ego gets the better of you, there's no end. So I wanted to milk venom from the cobra. So I asked for a surgical glove and a beaker from the chemistry department, and I took the cobra and milked the venom. And the cobra also bled from its jaws. Mm. Karma was born. And the next thing, the cobra, I held it on a stick. And the next thing, the cobra just looked at me and hissed. Previously, whenever I held snakes, the snakes, for some reason, would never raise their hood on me. This was the first time this cobra raised its hood and it hissed, and I knew karma was born. Well, 6 months later, I had rescued a few Russell's vipers from my friend's garden, and his twin 3-year-old daughters were playing in the garden. He said, "Mahesh, I think these are venomous snakes. We're going to check it out." So I just rescued this snake, which is a Russell's viper, and I was holding on to it. I just had to cap the head. It caught the movement and it bit my index finger.
Oh.
So karma came full circle. So at one point, the cobra felt so much of pain, and it would have felt so much of anxiety, so much fear. It would have felt such terrible emotions from the torture that I had put it through. Now, karma has revisited only to let me know how it feels. So when the Russell's viper bit me, it was a harsh bite. It was a real bite, and I went through that pain. Of course, I was calm, not anxious, because I knew within me that this karma had come full circle. But my family, they were all so scared. My daughter went into trauma. Even today, she cannot look at snakes. So that's what karma is all about. So it's not about doom. It's something that we have done, and now we have to understand what we have done. Nobody is telling us, is going to bring that understanding to us, unless I myself go through that experience. It is like, suppose you lost a loving friend, and someone else comes and puts their arm around your shoulder and says that it's okay, it's okay. No, it's not okay. You've lost a friend. It's not okay. It feels so terrible. But when that person loses someone important in their life, they will come back to you and they will tell you, "I know exactly what you're going through. I'm so sorry for your loss. I'm here for you." So karma, that's the way you have to view karma. Don't think of it as doom. Question, Vijayashree.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
But most importantly, we must realize that we don't know what we have done. But the question remains, why am I going through this? We have gone through this, we are going through whatever we are going through because of the choices that we've made sometime in the past, which transcends the physical lifetimes. We are born in this bubble called God, or consciousness, or Brahman, whatever you want to call it. And it is simply non-judgmental. It is impartial. It accepts all of us who are just parts of the whole unconditionally. We are simply its own reflections who have separated ourselves just like a water bubble came out of the ocean. We belong to the same ocean from where we sprung up. For that moment when we are out of the ocean, we believe in our individuality. We believe in destiny. We believe in everything that today we believe in, that we have to get back to God. There is no getting back to God. We are in God. We never separated ourselves. It is just this notion that we are different. Just this notion that my suffering is not your suffering and your suffering is not mine. We're just in this notion, in this illusion that we are separate. So if you live in that awareness that I'm just a part of the whole. This body is not, I'm not only in this body, I'm everywhere. This body is only a part of my existence. I'm everywhere. When you live in that awareness that I'm everywhere, that this body is not only a part of, this body is only a part of my existence, then you are more in acceptance of this whole experience that I'm going through. Otherwise, you get into this small world of greed, of this lustful experience where I want my house, I want my husband, my wife, my child, my journey, my money, my asset. We have this lustful journey which takes us deep into this existence of individuality, and we forget completely our divine, and then we start begging the divine to make us more miserable. We believe the moment the divine grants us that boon, that wish, we will experience happiness once again. Until the fag end of life, where life is sniffed out of us, we don't realize that all of that which we asked for was simply worthless. So get into that space where you can experience the whole, where you can be as the whole. You don't have to keep telling yourself. It's not an affirmation that you keep repeating. But you just have to close your eyes. Can I see my body? Yes, I can see in my imagination. Can I feel my fingers? Yes, I can, because I'm habituated to it. Can I feel the weight of my waist, my legs, my tummy? Can I feel the weight of my shoulders? Of course I can, because all of it is kind of feels familiar. And now when you sit like this for some time, you find that your sit bones go numb, your waist begins to pain, your legs begins to go numb, tingling sensation, and then you start feeling aches and pains in your body, at which point you question yourself, who is feeling this pain? Am I feeling the pain, or is the mind feeling the pain? And when you constantly question, you start seeing the separation between you and the mind. As this separation begins to deepen, you realize that even though the body is experiencing discomfort, you are at peace. This is one way of watching adversity. When you practice this, you rise in awareness and you are no longer affected by whatever happens to the body. Ramana Maharshi went deep into his awareness. He became one with the divine So much so that when scorpions and insects were eating into his flesh, he had no awareness, no pain. He had completely disassociated himself from the body. I'm not asking you to be Ramana Maharshi, but I'm asking you to rise. We are all born from the same divinity. So it's very, very, very simple for us to get back there. The only trouble is that we believe too much in the mind and its stories. It takes only a little bit of awareness. You know, when you reach that plane, the natural state where you see divinity in everything, and you see that the one thing that made the body is the same thing that makes everything, the walls, the doors, your television, your clothes, your iron, the dog, the tree, the stone. You see everything made of the same thing. When you experience that, you will laugh at yourself because you will say, tell yourself, I know this already. At that point, you become one with the divine. And you will laugh at yourself. I know this already. That's how simple it is. But it's not easy. It's because you just need to drop all your concepts, all your reasons, excuses, judgments. You just have to drop it all and you're there. So there was a question. How do you connect to the divine? This is what the mind does to you. So you believe that you are not connected to the divine. You can never be not connected to the divine. What you have to do is to unplug yourself from the mind. I remember this TV commercial many years ago when we had Doordarshan, where this man is watching television. This was a television advertisement. He's watching a cricket match on the television and his wife comes to him and tells him, I'm running away with the driver. And this man tells her, without looking at her, he's so engrossed in watching the television, he says, Suno, driver ko saath le jana. Right? So, when we are so engrossed watching that mind's television, we forget that divinity is where we all exist. We forget, we get into that maya, believing that the mind is real. We believe that all the manifestations are real. It is our belief which makes us get to this notion that we have to connect to divinity. You're always connected. You just have to unplug yourself from the mind and you are connected. You realize you're always connected. Just unplug yourself from the mind. That you have to do every day. Every day, unplug yourself from the divine. If you can do that, then life is beautiful. So when you are connected, you can't be angry. You can't be sorrowful. Then every experience is something that you want to give to this mind and be finished with it. Life is a beautiful experience, only if you choose to live it that way. Are there any other questions? The simple thing that we have to do every day is to unplug ourselves from the mind so we can get back to our awareness. Just summing up, adversity is a teacher. It is not here to bring you an unjust experience. It is not here to take your pleasures and happiness away from you. It is here only to let you know that this is an experience that has come to you because you need to learn. So don't attach yourself to physical assets. Don't attach yourself to anything that is transient, temporary, anything that can just loses its value over time, anything that loses its relevance over time. Don't associate with any of those things. When you do, then karma is born and suffering is guaranteed. So let us stay unplugged with the mind so we can be restored in our connection to the divine. With this, I end this session. Thank you so much for all your presence, and with lots of love, I end this session today.